Welcome everyone to another week. It's the Wrestling Show. I'm your host here from the Lingus Mafia podcast. I'm Cab Manning, along with Ryan Satin's favorite dirty sheet writer, Mr. Billy Body. Good afternoon, young man.
Fuck that guy. I can't.
You're as smooth as satin, baby.
The audacity to say that I was resurrected was the only part that pissed me off. But the rest of it, I feel we definitely won at the weekend.
You haven't left. And that's the funniest part, which I was like, see, so you don't know if he's saying those things to fuck with you? Like, nobody knew you were around until Vince brought you back? Or what? Because we've been doing this show ever since you got yourself in trouble. And you know what's weird is, like, so you had your Twitter taken away, and that meant everything fucking went away from fucking Twitter? It's ridiculous.
And leaving SportsKia.
Mm-hmm. Fucking, it's like no one knows where, like, if you left Twitter, you think no one would be able to find you or know where you were? Because we were all on a show. They could go back to the old shows, find where we plugged my shit, find where we plugged any of Nick's stuff, and go, hey, where is Billy? And contact. It's like, it's retarded. Like, people just, disappear, goodbye.
I should have responded and just went, yep, fresh out of jail.
I was kneeling on people. I was in jail for a couple of years.
I don't think I'll be out yet.
So, if people don't know what we're talking about, by the way, Billy was on that Vince Russo, the brand, where you could find him on the Realm Network, and just go to Vince Russo's, is it the Vince Russo on Twitter? Is that his thing? Or is it real Vince Russo? It's one of those, right?
It's the Vince Russo.
Yeah, I love that, you know, because there are too many people that steal everybody's stuff. So, if you want to go see, check out that Twitter, because they play a clip of Billy with Vince last week, and, they go, hold on.
The most watched clip, I think, has ever been on there.
Well, and it was odd, because in this video, Billy said, hold on a second, bent down and spit in Ryan Satin's asshole, and then just started to plow his ass and butt fuck him over and over. So that was what happened this week, and our boy saw.
Well, wait till you hear this week, because I'm really gonna call him out on Saturday.
So he's been getting roasted, and all hell broke loose on Twitter with him because he turned into a big baby, big pussy, and it was, oh, this isn't right. I can't, you know, grieve for my friend. Oh, this sucks, man. And I'm like, you are so on a fucking soapbox, and heavens to Murgatroyd, let me grasp my pearls, being offended by fucking everything. I'm offended by people who get offended, because it ruins everything. Now, if you think of it, if all social media was gone, I think all of our lives would be normal again, with things that were edgy on TV, and I guarantee you they couldn't do that Seinfeld episode about jerking off, because you would have guys like Satin cry and write the studio. Hey, you shouldn't have this. Young children are going to see this episode. It's those people. And I use the term, people are offended by this.
People have gone back and complained about Friends and millennials not liking it because it was too homophobic for a series. They said it was constantly homophobic.
Really?
It had two gay jokes in it.
As they said, there's nothing wrong with it. Million times, though. But that doesn't count,
I
guess.
Is that back in the day, you used to have to look for dickwads like this. It was yeah. it was called forums.
Yeah.
And you knew who the losers were because they actually had passwords into forums. And just from sitting in a forum, you were a fucking loser.
And they would write into Penthouse forum too.
But now you just find them all over Twitter because they've been given a platform. And the worst thing is that they do have some influence over the product, which is why I was saying on Russo's show that Jeff Hardy, the good storyline that it looked like it was going to be, was pretty much paid off in one show.
One show.
Because they couldn't keep the suspense going.
Because these little douchebags will fucking fuck it up.
Yeah, because they would deal with these guys for weeks and they're moaning. I actually was going to review SmackDown because we don't really do that very often. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start it here. I just have some notes. So here we go. And Jeff Hardy was saying,
that's some review you have there.
It's like it's the dude on your show.
I was wondering if that's what that was. But that's the problem. No one gets that joke that didn't listen to the Double or Nothing review on my show.
And I give it one horse's head for what happened on the other show. And Double or Nothing.
So the police are, there's an ID in the car. They asked for Jeff Hardy and they walk around the corner.
Oh my God. You know what's funny is I offered him this week a job to do the reviews every single pay-per-view. I need him to do review. Said it's the greatest fucking review I've ever heard in my life. If anybody wants to hear the review we're talking about, go check out Lingus Mafia podcast. Oh my God.
He drowns himself out with music when you can't hear him anyway.
Oh my God. He actually wrote an apology speech and he sent it in this week. So that's on the show this week. He did a whole I brought in dishonor to the family. It's so good. He was so good I had to offer him a fucking job.
Anyway, that was my joke done to prove that I listened to
the that's what shocked me. I was like, I don't know what he's doing because that's the first thing I thought was that review. And I'm like, how would he know about the review? Oh my God.
I had a lot of time this week. So that's the problem. And the other problem is if we remember, I don't know if you remember, but Nick remembers when I was talking to Road Dogg.
Yeah.
And he was trying to get the news off me and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to tell you like who I get it from. And then we were talking about the booking ideas. And eventually he asked me what I thought about something. And you remember I said, why do you ask me for ideas? Because you don't ever use anything that I say. And he said, you guys, we have to reach out to you guys because you guys have influence on Twitter. And he said that even though that only makes up 1.8% of the audience, we still have to ask the main people for their feedback. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, why if it only makes up 1.8% of the Twitter? He goes, because it makes up 100% of the engagement. So obviously, all the Twitter engagement, which is accounts to 6, 7, 8 million tweets per episode, are all done by the same 1.8% of viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, let me do the math on that quickly because I should get a phone which the calculator works on. I got 36,000.
Okay, that all sounds right. More.
So. 36. So basically, to put that into context, 36,000 people. That's it. We'll talk about the show. So out of 2 million people watching, it would have been more back then, but at the moment it'll only be 36,000. So 36,000 people mm-hmm. actively tweet WWE during the show, of which these people will send or will be responsible for. Around about 5 or 6 million tweets between them. And it will only come from these 36,000 people, give or take. However many, whatever the social engagement is, I'm not sure. But that's what he told me. Now, their sponsors and those investors and whatnot, they don't understand that that's the case. So or either they do, or they just, or everybody's just conning everybody, and they're happy to do so. So whereas those metrics look really impressive and sponsors dive onto him or whatever, he always knew that it was only 1.8% of the audience that were tweeting along. But this is also seen as their very, very, very core fan base who watch live and tweet. These are like the hardcore. So there's the core that watch everything, mm-hmm. which is probably what Raw's down to at the moment, and then there's the hardcore, like who tweet every segment and throughout. Jesus. So in that sense, that's why he was going to me, but it'll also be going to Saturn and Meltzer and all that. And the problem that we have, as I spoke about on Vince's show, is we have the replication of opinion, which is basically when one of these dickheads has an opinion, it becomes a fact, and that's what people believe. So whereas we talk about how we don't like certain things, or we do like certain things, or we try to rebook it, they tell you not to like it, and then these people follow along like sheep, and they all decide Jesus. That they're all going to be offended when they were not offended by this product, because 90% of the people became fans during the Attitude Era, because the demographic alone, which tells you the average age of a wrestling fan at the moment, is younger than us. It's mm-hmm. 43. It's 43. That's the average.
The average age is 43, huh?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So we're not even there yet. I don't know if you're not.
No, I am. I'm 44.
Right. So that's it's you. It's bang on you.
Yeah, it's like almost exactly me.
Yeah. So you are the prime example of their peak audience.
That's a sad state that us 44-year-olds are sitting there watching fucking Raw, and I'm one of those people that won't stop. It could be complete shit. And I will watch it every week. Doesn't mean I am pinned to the television and or that I have to be on time like back in the day where I could not be gone. There was no chance I could not be in front of my TV for me at 6 o'clock on Monday because I get the East Coast feed. I would have to be. And now it's like I get started a little late. I got DVR. And now, like I told you, I'm playing video games on one of the TVs, because I have that nice 5 TVs in a row here in my wall, and I'm playing video games on one while Raw is on the other one. And I know what's going on because I'm not listening to the video game, but it's there. So I could be up abreast on the situations, but I'm not like certain things like you've mentioned, but where I go, that happened because I wasn't like tuned in staring at it. And I missed the move or something like that. Like you mentioned the finish of Drew's match during the pay-per-view against Rollins. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know what the fuck happened, how the finish happened. I just know he pinned him. So I had to go back and look. So it's kind of like that with me at this point. And now I'm angry when I watch, especially when I see they're going to have bowling championships on Raw. I get pissed off. I can't handle those segments anymore at this point with these fucking morons dancing around. And it's like, and it goes into the insulting your intelligence stupid shit where obviously I know it's just stupid mindless shit that they're putting on, but when the guy goes to throw the ball and he's connected to the ball and he goes all the way down and then lets go of the ball, and it's like, I'm gonna fucking hang myself watching this shit. And the cutaways are terrible, by the way. If you notice how terrible they are, even with the golf and everything, like when they putt and you see that it's not even going to be anywhere close to the hole, and then they zoom into a hole and it's right in, shit like that. Or the bowling.
Did you see the cutaway for when Nia fucked her up and then next thing she's in the ring with got her leg dropped in her head?
Oh, I didn't know if they fucked anything up because I thought she grabbed her and threw her back in and then leg dropped her and was done. Did I miss?
Yeah, that But that wouldn't be a finish, would it? Like, that's never
oh,
that,
yeah, they just cut straight to let's get this over with. But there was no gushing blood, which was interesting.
But there was in real life, and it was all treated. And then she said, just roll in the ring. And then you fucking got to take, like, Nia Jax's fucking leg
drop,
which she can't even do.
That is interesting that because it was recorded, they said, all right, let's stop the match, patch her up, and then throw her in the ring like it was a continuation. Because I was like, all right, I thought she concussed herself because you had told me a week before that she fucked her up. So I'm waiting for the fuck up, and I don't know what it is. Soon as she does, I know it, and I go, and I texted you, and I go, well, that doesn't look like it was not her fault, because you were like, it wasn't really her fault is what you were told. And I was like, no, she kind of just fucking chucks her where she doesn't let her get her feet under her. It's like if you're just thrown forward too quickly, you're like, hold on a second. Let me balance myself. And she just got fucking... It was very much the Enzo being thrown into the ropes where it was like, whoa, easy over here. You don't need to fucking fire me through. And she went face first into that thing. And I didn't know until like the next day on Twitter where she tweeted a picture of her forehead split open that that's what happened to her. But I'm like... My God, she's just a fucking a brute with all the... It's easy already. Fucking easy. You know, she does that a lot where it's... I know you're showing strength and, you know, shit happens, but fuck Christ. A little too often.
And that's the thing, right? When I sometimes turn around, well, not sometimes, I often say a lot of these women need to be utilized in a different way in terms of... the Iconics having a talk segment or something, and just finding different things for different people to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not keen on a lot of the. I mean,
so yeah, you're not the big women wrestling fan, but I've always said that I enjoy the women wrestling. I don't find it for the most part to be any worse than the guys. I don't think it's craziness difference. I'm like it's the same stupid shit.
So vastly different. I mean, the guys are now doing a lot more jumping and flipping and mm-hmm. and going through, and you know, if you watch UFC or the more you get into it, you realize that they're using a lot of stuff from there but as transition and rest holds, which is kind of stupid.
Who's the hottest UFC chick? See if we're on the same page. And I say that pun intended.
Paige Van Zandt.
Thank you.
But getting back to my point, I would like to see a different utilization of women. I've got chucked off Twitter for that, but I've maintained the same opinion until the point where I'm right and a lot of people agree with me, and it's beginning to become a full circle because Bliss hasn't improved, the Iconics haven't improved, Carmella hasn't improved, Naomi hasn't improved, Jax has actually got worse. But the thing is that you can find other things for these other people to do. There's nothing else that Nia Jax could do. Like, she's not beautiful and useful to do anything else at all.
You still find that Charlotte is the best when it comes to, like, performance and knowing how to wrestle?
I think so. I think she calls her spots quite loudly, and then that's something that she needs to sort out. There's always... an insistence to get her shit in, like a lot of Charlotte matches are the same,
mm-hmm.
but I do find her to be the best one. And then I think after that,
I was going to say, give me your top five rundown in order.
Oh, I think I would definitely go Charlotte and Sasha are number one and two.
There you go.
And that was clear from the time that they came up. I think the fact that Bayley can work with them both
mm-hmm.
Would have to put her either in three or four, because I think Oscar can work with both as well. So they're the primary four that mm-hmm. I think would be there. And I think then Becky more so for what she's done.
Yeah.
But if Ronda was still around, I would put her in. Oh, actually, I tell you what, who I'd stick in at number three, above Bayley and Oscar. So that would definitely be my top five. Is Shayna. Because the stuff that she works in terms of transitioning through to her moves and believability and everything, she's definitely one of the best. And then obviously there's a lot of stuff that they could do with her character as well. So I definitely, for me, I think that they are the absolute 100% top five. I forgot about Shayna, so that means Becky wouldn't get in. If Ronda was available in the way that she took to it, I think that she could easily oust Becky from that. Asuka should really be a lot higher. I think that she's had a lot of matches that have been a letdown, and she's kind of steered away from that. She's had a handful of good matches since coming up to the main roster, whereas on TakeOver, she was ripping it up every single time. Every 2 months, she was having like the best women's match, and then the new number one was the next Oscar's match, and the new number one was the next Oscar match. Other than that Sasha Bailey match, of course, that they had,
couple
of matches that they had. But then it was Oscar all the time, just stealing the show and doing better stuff than the women that are actually on the main roster, give or take one or two matches there as well, the WrestleMania 32 triple threat and etc. But yeah, I don't think Becky had a good match all year, and I think she really got exposed when she wasn't working with Charlotte, because I think everybody else she worked with, it was pretty bad. So I think Charlotte and Sasha, I think once Sasha is a baby face, I think we might see her being number one, because she's like, to me, she's like a female like Sean, because I think she can sell and make it look believable, and you make you feel it and whatnot. Whereas I don't know who I would relate Charlotte to. I think she's very much just her own style. She's definitely not, she's not like a dad, as much as she has the mannerisms and whatnot, but she's just a far better performer than Ric Flair.
You know, it's funny that you said the, I don't know if you recall when we talked about this, I don't know, probably 2 years ago or something, and it was, I think Nick was on the show and all that kind of shit, and we were going over the women's wrestling shit, and I said, I think of Sasha as the Shawn Michaels of women, and I think I was shit on for it, but I feel that she's the fucking best. I think it's she gets shit on, I think, because she gets hurt fucking much.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I don't think that she is the...
She's not Shawn Michaels, obviously. I mean, who the fuck is?
No, she's not on that level of being Shawn Michaels, no.
But when it comes to women, I guess, if you're setting a bar lower and getting yourself in trouble.
I don't know who I would compare. I don't know how I would compare Charlotte.
Have to compare. Maybe like she's just her own. You know, people compare then to her instead because, you know, maybe she's just on her own thing. Because you've never seen anybody who's 5'10 and she's doing fucking backflips off the top rope to the floor, which I'm waiting for her knee to get blown out one of these days. It's gotta happen, unfortunately. I mean, it's a matter of you just... little tweak wrong and you're fucked. So,
but that's the difference is that I haven't seen Sasha be pushed high enough to go out there and carry like a poor performer, and that's the only reason that Charlotte gets number one. I think Sasha potentially has it, but when Charlotte's going out there and making Liv look good, you have to put her at number one.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple years ago, I think it was Arn or somebody who said they were like, who's the best woman performer? And he told Charlotte, it's Sasha. She was like all offended. She's like, hey, sorry. She's the best. So I don't know if she's now past her. But I almost think they push her to be the women's champion so many times so that like they could hurry up and have her beat Flair's record so they could do something on TV with it instead of just organically letting it go. And if he happened to be dead when it happens, it happens. But it's like... I feel like they want it to happen like now. Like nobody ever has patience.
What do you think of the whole thing in terms of adding the NXT title runs to as world championship runs, but it doesn't count for the men? Like
no shit, it doesn't. Yeah, and until you said that, it never registered with me because it's one of those things like where I just watch it to it's just there, and I don't like try to dissect too much when with their reasoning because it is what it is, and it's gonna be fucking weird. But for the people that don't know what we're talking about, that they qualify the NXT woman's title as a title run. So they add that to Charlotte's title run. She's this many times champion, this many NXT, this many Raw, this many SmackDown. And then they don't do that even a little bit when it comes to the men's world title. They don't say Drew is a two-time world champion. They don't, because then they would have to say Bo Dallas is a world fucking champion.
Exactly. Bo Dallas, Big E.
Yeah, Big you e don't even know Big E was, you know, but they don't, that's, they've mentioned it here and there, very rarely. But you're like, I mean, Big E was the fucking champion over there when it was, you know, infant stages.
But then he would be the champion before Kofi, which would mess up the whole storyline.
Which, you know what? Probably should have been the champion before Kofi. If you want a believable, dominant guy, that's who you'd be picking him. It should be Lashley, obviously. But I wouldn't cry about Big E. He's a big boy.
Oh, sorry. I just accidentally turned on my WCW. I'll watch that later. I'm enjoying this WCW, this Russo era of 99. I'm only two episodes in, so we'll see what happens. I don't think he's really got the pencil properly yet. I think they're just kind of writing.
You should ask
there.
Him that. When did he finally, like, I mean, because I would assume he's got to kind of be around a while and get a feel and hear what the story is and catch up, watch old shit,
I imagine,
all that.
So he started on October 4th, and I'm watching October the 11th now, and there's a pay-per-view coming up. This is the go-home show. So I imagine he takes over the night after the pay-per-view properly and starts his own stories. But we'll see. But I really think that anything's more watchable than this. this week in our group chat, I sent you a story for getting heat on this Lashley storyline.
Brilliant and, fucking story, which... We all said, we all told you, this is, let's suck your dick a little bit here. We said, this is fucking fantastic. This is great. And we also followed it up by saying, what, Billy? This will never fucking happen. Because we're like, because they're fucking soft. That's why.
Definitely not now. When it's
no.
Right.
Because they're soft. But, so do you want to tell everybody your storyline suggestion, which is fucking brilliant? And for all the... wrestling fans at home listening, they should just imagine in your head, if you will, this happening, because I guarantee you in the Attitude Era it would have happened. Back when you would think Vince was a man with balls. In fact, his promos were always about the grapefruits. So that is what's startling about that now, that he's afraid of people like Shit-Stained Satin, who are going to fucking cry about Jeff Hardy's fucking storyline, and they all need wholesome
shit.
This
is the thing I wanted to clarify. I may not have made it clear on Russo Show. I don't think he's particularly scared of Satin or Meltzer or anybody. I think he feels
it's the people
that
they rally up, though.
I think that he thinks that they represent the voice of the audience. And I think that he thinks that if they're talking like this, then we don't need to... What's it called when you have... a sample size of people watching your show. It's when they sit in a room and they watch it.
Oh, the demographic kind of thing. The I know exactly what you're talking about.
Focus group. Yeah, that's right. So that we don't need to do any kind of focus group, because we'll draw our opinions from them. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I don't think they've got much respect or they book for them, or they think that they're important in any particular way where we have to like pander to them or give them tickets or give them like free shit like AEW do. But I do think that what they do is they set the tone for what people think. So if they claim to be offended, then people will go along and be offended. And at the bottom of their threads, you'll see comments such as just agreeing with them. And everybody wants
sucking them off. Let's be friends. I agree with you.
Yeah, and it's all likes and retweets and everything. And I made a point of saying this on Russo's things, that we need to get away from this, and that people like me and Russo and you and that JD from New York and people that run a any kind of content where they honestly assess this. And the thing is that also, it's not just about honest assessment. It's about, if you're going to say shit about it, then you tell me the alternative, because I've never heard Shitstain or Meltzer or Alvarez come up with anything creative as an alternative at all. They can dissect and criticize the shit out of everything that everybody do, but I've never heard a fucking bright idea out of any one of their brains. I don't think that you put them in a company, because that's the thing. Previously, there's been a couple of times where Vince has reached out to Meltzer or Alvarez, or Meltzer backs up Alvarez and says, oh, he's even asked him to come and work for him. Why? based on their criticism of their podcast, yeah, based on them butchering the shit out of your product, you thought that they had creative minds. No, I make sure that, and Vince does it too, that we're, that whenever we come on shows and we criticize, that we do come up with an alternative, or we do have, or we do say where things should go. Mm-hmm. So at least we always have that to fall back on. So that if the next week's not as good, we'll say, well, they should have done that. And in this instance, my storyline would have been, and I don't think that they'll touch it at all. Maybe I wouldn't even now, knowing how soft everybody is, because now it's not just a case of WWE not wanting to take the risk. Now there would be a legit backlash. But when I suggested it 3 or 4 days ago, I said that the go home segment for McIntyre and Lashley should be that Lashley had his knee on the back of McIntyre's neck. McIntyre's passing out and MVP shouting him, how do you like it then? How do you like it now?
Fucking fantastic. So if I have a Federation, Billy, I'm hiring you and I'm doing it. And I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if Ty loses my my sponsorship.
It's funny because I know that McIntyre and MVP are going to go for MVP. Lashley are going to go too. So they are going to go back-to-back pay-per-views. And they're going to find a way to keep it going onto Extreme Rules. And if it is some kind of no holds barred, I quit or submission match or whatever they do it at that event, then you could even have Drew doing it to him, which I think is worse, because I think people can get on board with the black guy doing it back. It would garner some negative publicity, but fuck me, you're doing 1.7. Like, you need people to know that you're still alive and running and that there's something else to watch.
Yeah, nobody else is leaving because it's at the bottom anyway. It's all those hardcore people that are left anyway, so they're not leaving.
Exactly. So, I mean,
this started so many years ago when it came to people being offended, because I remember Spider-Man was, there's a scene that they had to cut out because of 9/11. And I was wondering, what scene is this? They had it to where Spider-Man made a web in between the two buildings, linking the two buildings, like he made a fucking web and captured fucking criminals or whatever and put them there. And I'm like, and you couldn't have that because the Twin Towers were in the thing when the Twin Towers had fallen?
Oh, they did. They did that with Friends. They did that with Friends, and then they did a U-turn on it.
Fucking dumb. I'm like, you should have that. You should say, yeah, they're still alive in my world. Fuck you. You know, I mean, why can't you turn it into that? People are offended because it's still up. Get the fuck out of here. And they fucking bow down to this shit. Drives me fucking crazy with that.
These companies, they all bow down to everybody. But the thing is, the tone is set by the critics, and the critics create the mass hysteria, and then people jump on. The thing is that people are too afraid to have their own opinion, because just having your own opinion on your own Twitter account isn't going to get you likes and shares. And that's the thing. If you comment at the bottom of the thread, it's either going to be one or two things. It's going to be complete agreement, which is more likely to get you the retweet that you're looking for.
That's what they're looking for.
But you can also be telling Ryan Satin to go fuck himself, which is going to still get you likes on his page, because half the people there hate him. The big U-turn from 2017, the big change from 2017, where he got everybody to report my account over what I said about women's wrestling, and this weekend was that, yeah, there were some comments saying, oh, that guy's back, and oh, I thought we got rid of him.
He tried to do it again, I believe. I think he slyly tried to do it again by mentioning you and thinking that people were going to attack, where it backfired and they went the other way.
And what was so great today was that, yeah, it went the other way. Not only did it go the other way, because I think maybe that may have been influential, may have influenced Vince slightly in terms of thinking, Jesus, who have I got on board here? Because if had it been the backlash of 3 years ago, maybe he would have made a different decision. But he said to me today, he went, bro, I had all these like emails and stuff, and going, and he goes, none of them bothered me. And he goes, the only ones that like, that pissed me off was the people that said, Vince, I'm disappointed in you for having this guy on. And he said,
unbelievable.
And that's when like I really got annoyed, because I I don't work like they all know me, and I don't work like that, and I only go by my own interactions with people.
He goes, they should know better.
He goes, and ever since you've been on here, we've got along, and he goes, and the feedback has been unbelievable. So he goes, that's what I base it on. He goes, but look, he goes, I'm going to give you the floor. He goes, do you want to address any of this stuff? And I just said flat out, I said, look, I say what I want to say. I said, if I've offended people along the way, I said, I haven't offended you because I like your work and I like the way you talk about the product still. I said, there's no way you would have ever been on any negative story on the data sheets. But if you're talking about Sean Waltman or various other names and people, I said, yes. I said, it's not a critique on their work during the time when they wrestled. But I said, there comes a point where if news comes to me and I have to report it and somebody's been a moron, I'll report it. And I didn't say this specifically, but we've spoken about how Scott Hall had a cab with me and then unfollowed me because I tweeted about it. We've done previous stories about something about Sean Waltman. We've attacked numerous people on our sites and on our podcasts, and we've said things about women's wrestling. But the fact is that we didn't say it for effect. Like, we said it because it was an honest analysis of the product. If you're trying to shut down people that are honestly analyzing the product in order to favor these fucking sheep that tell you everything that goes in line with what's in society and throwing out all their social justices and whatnot, then that's why you end up with a shitty product that you've got. We're the podcasts that should be supported. And I said to Vince, I went, I stand by everything that I've said. I said, I had this thing with women's wrestling. I said, I've had run-ins with people. I've always defended myself. I said, but there's nothing out there that is bad enough for me to have to take back. There's not a single comment that I would withdraw for anybody or opinion. And the thing is that you're fucking stupid if you withdraw your opinion. You can change your opinion.
Yeah.
Like my opinion on women's wrestling changed a lot just by WrestleMania 34 because organically by WrestleMania 34, they had the best wrestler in Charlotte going up against the undefeated streak, and then we had Ronda Rousey's debut, and I came out of WrestleMania
34. They had a storyline.
Yeah, and when I came out of WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans, and you were with me, and I said, isn't it funny, like, all by themselves, without shoving it down your throat, the women's matches were the best. Mm-hmm. The mixed tag and Oscar versus Charlotte, all by itself, it actually warranted its praise by itself without them telling you, and then the following year, they put them in the main event, and they all fail to deliver. Because in that spot, but for one night at WrestleMania 34, I honestly felt that was the best night of the women's wrestling because Charlotte and Oscar had the best match, tied almost with a very different match with Rousey and Angle against Triple H and Stephanie, but they all involved women, and all four of those women were the best performers of the night. Even mm-hmm. Stephanie, who didn't do that much, but she. Without
she helped with what she had to do.
Yeah, her character. In her heel work in terms of like antagonizing Ronda, if you remember.
Yeah.
I know you don't remember a lot of stuff because you don't care anymore. But,
that's what has happened.
But she antagonized Ronda throughout. Well, you went to it, so you would remember.
Yeah, I do. I remember her stuff, yeah. I mean, Stephanie does the best at being a bad guy. We know this. She comes off the most annoying and all that kind of shit. She does a good job.
Because I don't think it's too far from who she is. I don't think she's likable as a person.
You don't think so? I always think she's like a very nice person in real life. But I mean, what the fuck would I know? I mean, have you heard things?
No, I just think she comes across as quite like disingenuous, like and dislikable.
I'm surprised.
But what else did we want to talk about this week? Oh,
what's your opinion on that whole fucking bullshit that I brought up about the fucking bowling and all this every fucking week?
Did I not say anything about it?
I don't think you... No, it was just me rambling about it, but... Because I said about the cutaway, and you went to the other one.
I think it goes without saying. I think you have problems...
But it's like unbearable. It's like... Yeah, it's to that point.
I think there's a problem if you do like it, because I feel that have they lowered Raw down to the point where you're accepting of this kind of content and you're accepting of the lack of finishes that we had on Raw this week in terms of the whole fucking... That Teddy Long thing Jesus Christ, like, how many years have they got out of that? The thing is that nobody even likes it where a match is stopped and then they turn it into a tag.
Yeah.
And it was a Teddy Long thing. And the Teddy Long era is not a good time for SmackDown. It was a time where SmackDown were better than Raw. And by the time Teddy Long was there, it was a period where if SmackDown people were good, they went to Raw. And SmackDown got worse and worse and worse.
They would just keep stealing from them.
Yeah. And it was significantly becoming the B show, and that was the time, really, that Teddy Long was involved in the worst days of SmackDown, and we ended up having this tag thing because they really didn't have enough good people on there. And what would happen is they'd put two singles guys together, they didn't want to beat any of them. Someone would interfere, and then we'd have a tag match straight away. And they kept that going somehow for 10 years. They still think that that's a good idea to book TV. And then Charlotte and Oscar doesn't have a finish either, which, you know, you can do one in one show, but how do you get away with doing all these? It was a shit show for Raw this week. Other Raws haven't been so bad. This might have been one of the worst that I've seen for ages.
You know, since we spoke about the world titles, meaning whatever, when, like, Charlotte has, you know, NXT, do you consider somebody having been the world champion when it was they had the big gold in WWE and now the Universal? Do you count them as for yourself personally, obviously, do you count that? Because I don't.
No, you'd I would, because I think when Brock had it for such a long time, you know, that belt was on top, like main event in pay-per-views and whatnot, for while Roman was chasing Brock for that one. So yeah, I would count. And big gold as well. I mean,
because I'm always like, that's not the fucking, it's the WWE championship. That's what I always measure by. I'm like Christian was the big gold, and I'm like, yeah, you weren't really the champion. It's the same as the way I felt about the fake ECW. I'm like, hey, you're what about the other champion?
So you think about, yeah, ECW wasn't, but when you think about Christian, mm-hmm. you also think about Cena had that thing, and then Triple H had that thing for a long time, and people were like getting.
I think they were trying to make it something by putting it on him for a long time.
Well, this is the thing. People were very pissed off when Booker T didn't get that belt back. And that was the thing, because Booker T already had the WCW title 5 times. But then just because it was when it was. See, by your maths, mm-hmm. You would think that he already had it when it was more important. He was the top guy in WCW five times. Yeah, so why was he trying to win it in WWE? Why would it have been a big deal? Because they were very much doing the whole first black champion thing mm-hmm. back then as well. Whereas he'd already had it 5 times, and Ron Simmons had already had that belt already. But then all of a sudden it became the WWE version of it. Although the funny thing about that belt, it never had WWE in the title. It was always the world.
Just the world championship, because you had to distinguish between the WWE championship. But yeah, it was never, to me, I was always like, nah, that's the subpar. I almost thought of it, almost took on the qualification of the old school Intercontinental title to me.
But it can't do, because when you're looking at WrestleMania 20 mm-hmm. and 21, my first one, that belt headlined the show. Like, you closed Benoit closed the show by lifting it.
Who? I don't see this on the network. What are you talking about? What match?
And then Batista closes out by having mm-hmm. it. And then if you fast forward to 24, Undertaker closes out by having it too.
Yeah.
At the end of 24. That's the main event. So
and it didn't register still for me. I was like, yeah, that's what they're pushing as the main title now, and it never made me say, well, the WWE title is less. I just always felt that's, if I were to win one and one says, okay, you're going in the middle of WrestleMania for the WWE title, or you're going to win the Universal or the World title at the end of Mania, I'm taking the WWE one. I go for history. It's WWE champion. That means to me way fucking more. Hell, I'd rather have the IC title than that fucking Universal or the World, fake World title. And now, when that belt was in WCW, I agree, that's you were world champion when that happened. Because there should be one. That's the problem. I don't like 10 fucking world champions. It's
the only period when you're right is when they had is the period they had two championships and no brand extension. But I think when you have the brand extension, it does work. But there was a period where, I think around about 2012, 2013, where the brand extension was totally gone, and they still had Rock and Cena fighting for one, and then they had it was Del Rio and Swagger fighting for the other, and that's when it was significant that they'd made their choice that that one was going down and the other one was going up. And then by the end of the year, they unified it at fucking some TLC, which is really not the place you should have unified it. Seeing as that you had two belts lingering around for 11 years, mm-hmm. you should not have unified that at TLC. You should have ran to WrestleMania with it somehow. But then Daniel Bryan ended up with the two belts. You remember for a while, like, Bryan carried around two belts, yeah. and then Brock carried around two belts. And it was only disregarded when Brock said, I'm not fucking carrying around two belts.
He said, I don't want to fucking carry this through the airport anymore.
Yeah, and then they were like, oh, fine. But I don't understand why they were going ahead with that two-belt thing. And then the thing is, Cena would have it, and he would, like, strap them two things together put them around his neck. Mm-hmm. So ridiculous. But,
well, I think they're trying to get, like, boxing. Like, you're collecting all the world titles in boxing and
you're not defending them. But it was the point where it got stupid, and there was a significant period at one point where they were not equal anymore. And that was done by CM Punk, because while the other belt was beginning to change hands from Christian to Randy Orton to Mark Henry to all these kind of guys, CM Punk was remaining with his belt for over half a year and a half. So,
yeah, and they shit on him.
And I think that was the difference. Well, that's still the best run of our lifetimes, other than Hogan's.
Yeah, we had Hogan. Yeah,
but I mean, Hogan's first one.
Three years, right?
Yeah, but I wasn't really alive or watching for that one.
So yeah, that was my I would say heyday as I was a child watching. It was always Hogan with the fucking title.
So you were watching Hogan in his first run?
Oh sure. Yeah, I started watching at 5 years old. So I've been around for a while.
I'm trying to do like math.
I'm 81. 81 I'm watching. That's at 5.
Shit. So what's going on in 81? You're watching when Backlund's champion.
Oh, God. I could not tell you what was going on. I started watching wrestling where it was on, I was watching it. But I could not tell you like a first memory though. I couldn't tell you. I can tell you later on, of course, when it was like obsessed with and, you know, taking over my life, where it was renting every damn videotape, all that kind of shit. But I went to my first wrestling match at 5 years old. And I know there was a cage match, so it's a bit blurry, but I couldn't tell you all that kind of stuff, you know. I couldn't tell you. Oh, I remember when he fucking won. I mean, this was the kind of shit. It wasn't. There was, you know, barely anything on the TV. Here and there, you would get something. So the I want to close out the world title stuff. I would be more satisfied if they. It's kind of like they've said this a couple times, where they go the SmackDown World Champion, and they say the Raw World Champion. And they kind of get away from Universal and WWE. If they had that, have the Raw belt be fucking red, the SmackDown one be that, and then have the fucking actual WWE champion. He can go back and forth. I just think the champion should be able to go back and forth to both shows, and you have one champion. But they don't do that, and I think that kind of deludes it. And so you'd be like, I'm the champion of this show. So it'd kind of be like the television title for each show. But just change the fucking look of the belt so it's not the big giant symbol, which I think is just gaudy as shit. I'm not a fan, as I have the belt sitting here in front of me, which I've purchased. But yeah, it's not my favorite belt, that's for sure.
No, I I agree to some extent, but I think that there was a period where they were both very, very equal. And I think even now, we don't feel that way because I don't think Braun's doing a very good job with it. And he's wrestling in a...
Is it his fault, though?
Oh, yeah. He's not he's not great. Like, I mean, he...
Even when he was about story.
And you're working with Bray, who's quite an easy person to work with. He was coming back with some very generic stuff, and it was he had a look in his face like he was waiting his own waiting for Jesus Christ, Nick.
Yeah, I know. You know, with you guys, with the, you notice I haven't fucking replied to this fucking thread because all Nick does is fucking constantly with the riots and Trump. I'm like, I can't fucking take it anymore. So turn that fucker on silent and don't have it on the desk because you hear it buzzing.
Is it sound coming over?
Oh, yeah. You hear it every time.
Yeah, but you can't hear the tone, can you?
No, I hear brr every time. Brr. And here comes another one. God.
Yeah, it's just relentless. He just keeps constantly sending stuff about this fucking, because I like this Ben Shapiro guy. It's not going to change my mind. Like, I'm not going to, like, if he has a differing opinion to me, it doesn't mean that, like, he's, I've suddenly disagreed with everything he said for like 5, 6 years. And that's the thing. Like, I think Nick thinks everybody's dumber than him in terms of like, oh, I'm gonna tell you what the right thing to think is about every single thing. He's like these fucking journalists. He would be. I think if he covered this,
I think he's extreme left. Like I said, there's the extreme right and the extreme left. Normal people are in the middle because it's. He's on that side. I think. Well, he always throws out Kasich, who is a Republican. He goes, I like him. So that means that he's not crazy left. So I don't know. I think, but the majority, like I said, look at both sides, look fair, be fair about everything and this and that. And like he sent the whole KKK, I love that we're off the topic of wrestling, but how he sent the article about KKK and Trump's father being arrested. And what my example was, because I read the article and it said they don't say why he was arrested. And I said, well, this is the fucking problem. Not that I'm defending Trump and not that I'm defending his father, but I said, okay, let's say Nick Connolly went to the fucking KKK rally to support the blacks. And he got in a fight with the KKK and they arrested him because he got in a fight. And the article said, Nick Connolly was arrested at the KKK. So what the fuck? You got to have, you know, give me a whole about what happened. Because you can't just, you know, jump on someone. It's the same as when Trump was getting in trouble about the immigration and they showed the kids in cages. And everyone said, what a horrible person. And this was from years ago. And it was a kid that went in a cage and lost his mom. And 2 minutes later, he was running around the warehouse. So it had nothing to do with that. But people always look at that. So I said, you just look at things completely before you judge right away from one piece of something. Like you guys are showing pictures of cops beating up people. And I go, so what happened before this? Was the guy fucking attacking them? Was the guy pulling out a gun? Was the guy running? Find out first before you just go, look, he's getting beat. That's the craziness. So, and this is our wrestling show, by the way, everybody. Hope you enjoy. But everyone's, we're in a riot over here, and people in Paris are rioting, and also people in England are rioting. God knows why, over there.
I was trying to think how that, yeah, so somebody asked me, we're getting these tweets now about our show, if it's not out on time, what days it come out,
yeah, where's your tweet?
Because, yeah, obviously, like, there's more people waiting for it now because I'm doing Russo show.
It's going to be on Tuesdays from now on, everybody. We'll be set.
So he said, where's the show? And I said, oh, Cav couldn't do it tonight. He's out rioting.
Oh, protesting. No, you said protest. Rioting. Yeah. And by the way, I give my thoughts on this week's Lingus Mafia podcast about the entire thing. And much like Billy, we don't apologize for anything. And my opinion is my opinion. And I don't really give a shit if people are offended by my opinion. But I gave mine on that show.
As I said to Russo and I said to everybody else, I don't care. This, I have a fallback. And the thing is that what's so ridiculous is that these fucking pricks like Saturn and his crew, mm-hmm. they actually want to take me out of the situation, and they would get satisfaction from me losing food on the table.
Like, oh yeah, that's the piece of shit. Think. Yeah,
that, that's what they think that they're doing, because that's how big a piece of shit they are. They don't agree with my opinion, even though I cover things
so then you can have one,
differently,
yeah,
independently of them. That they want me to not only not be around, but they want me to be completely gone. So they don't want me just, they don't want to just not see me for their own sake. They want me completely gone and not working here and having to find a different form of income. And that Twitter account, losing it, has damaged my income. But the thing is that I've always got the fallback. I'm always on the SGP. I always have my own thing. And trust me, with the income that wrestling fans want to invest into this product anyway, it would never, ever, ever be enough for me to live off. So I only do this, and I've said it to Cab a few times, when we've thought about stopping, and Cab's, when wrestling's got so bad and our numbers have got lower than they've been before.
Yeah, I've begged to stop this show before.
Yeah, and I've said, and what was the reason? I'm not going to say it because I've already spoken my truth on Russo Show. What have I always said?
You won't let them win, and you won't give them the satisfaction of going away.
Exactly. I will not give anybody the satisfaction of seeing the back of me, and this will never be over. They'll never win. And the fact is that now it's even worse because I'm apparently resurrected, and there are people siding with me.
You can be resurrected. I'll be erected. Thank you.
But as me and I had a conversation with Boy Wonder when this was all happening on Saturday, and he made a good point for once, and he said that this is just, because he always brings it back to politics. He goes, this is just in line with like how people are feeling right now in terms of politics and people are sick of being oppressed and
the world's unrest.
Yeah, it's almost like the timing is perfect because I'm the voice of the of people that
we should have that punk clip in the beginning of the show, the voice of the voiceless.
But the thing is, that's what I've always been in terms of, like, I've always kind of spoken out for a better product because that's what we all want at the end of the day. The fact is that we can all be as cool and as witty and as funny as we want to be, but the fact is that this shit's fucking boring, and we all want to sit here and talk about something better than it actually is, and we all want the fucking same thing. I want the same as Mark 1 and 2 over there, and the thing is that they don't even know what they want because they just go along with what they think that they should think. And the thing is that people are so fucking dumbed down that they could be told how to think, they could be made to sit at home and lose their jobs because of a virus and not even question anything that they're being told. And it's weird because even when we talk about Nick, he's such a fucking conspiracist, but also such a fucking...
doesn't believe any conspiracies.
Yeah, but then doesn't believe anybody else's conspiracies at the same time, which is weird.
Is weird. He thinks everything is a conspiracy except for things that are conspiracies.
Right. Whereas normal people will just sit there, believe everything, and take their medicine. But the fact is, it's different to take your medicine from your government. It's almost law-abiding in most cases, and there isn't really anything you can do other than at least question it, which some people don't, because you've got morons yelling at other people for not social distancing, and when people are out in parks or whatever, they're calling them dickheads and arseholes and selfish. That's just fucking moronic, and that means that you're just a sheep if you're saying that to other people, because people can do what the fuck they want, because there was guidelines put in, but it's not martial law like what Trump's doing at the moment with the lockdown and the curfew and everything. But these are the people that can't, that shouldn't be influenced like that in terms of wrestling or in terms of any sort of escapism that you have, be it a show on Netflix or a sport or watching the WWE. Everything is supposed to be escape from real life and whatever shitty job you do or whatever. And then you've got cunts covering it, telling you how you should feel and think about that as well. And it's, as I said, the key difference is when everybody turn around and go, well, you guys are on a podcast and you guys are criticizing and whatnot, whatever. Yeah, we are. We're criticizing how bad it is or how boring it is or how much sense it doesn't make.
Yeah, and nothing offensive, that's for sure.
I'm not telling you what you should think and how offensive something is. I don't care if they do the segment where Lashley puts his neck down on Drew's puts his knee down on Drew's neck. I'm not going to care. You're not going to care. And I don't think anybody who's in our group chat or who's affiliated to this podcasting account. I mean, Umar's black, so we could check with him to see how offended that he would be by them going home with that segment. I don't think he would be.
I mean, you know what's weird? It's like if it was done in a movie, people wouldn't fucking have an uproar. But because it's like live action, like wrestling is a different fucking world. Like people get offended by that.
And I don't get why they're held to a different standard.
I don't
because
either.
They came out and said, hey, we're fake. We said it 1980 fucking nine that we are fake in order to avoid paying sports tax, which is what they did. If you remember, they wanted to pay an entertainment tax, which was lower than sports. And that happened in 1989. So ever since that's happened, they surely have license to be treated as a TV show. But for some reason, they're held to a different standard. And it doesn't help when your own fucking journalists are holding you to that standard. The people, and I don't understand what Meltzer and Alvarez and Satin all want this product to be. I don't understand what they actually want from it. I don't understand. I don't.
That's why I'd love to have Satin on, because I'd like to, and I'd be respectful to him. I know you couldn't be, but I would be respectful, and I want to know. Give me your fucking layout. What do you want? Because you know what he comes across as is Bruno Sammartino. Like, nose in the air. This is not wholesome. I need stuff for the children. And it's like, evolve. Fucking evolve with something. And it's, no, it should be all lollipops and cotton candy. And no one should be offended by anything. It should be happiness for everyone and nothing said out of context that would get someone upset. And it's like, oh, you can't get any more boring. He's the type that was writing into, you know, sponsors to make them stop sponsoring Howard Stern when he was on top, you know? That's what it reminds me of. Writing to Tide, you should take away your advertising. This guy's filthy.
I mean, he was putting something in a tweet not so long ago where he was talking about here it is. Stop. He wanted him to stop running Saudi Arabia. Titles, less is more. He said, I kind of agree with
the Saudi Arabia thing. I had a problem with, and it wasn't because they are accepting the blood money. It is their double standard about their accepting blood money. They because they get up on their high horse about bullying and about women's rights, and then they say no women allowed over here, or no Sami Zayn allowed here, and they go, okay, that's fine, just give me the money. So it's gay for pay. They'll do whatever when it comes to money. Instead of if they were ballsy and they said your women can't come on the show, and if they do, they have to be fucking covered completely, you would say, this is my team. Either you take us all as this product or I don't fucking go. They're not desperate for the fucking money. Obviously, it's not like they're bankrupt. Then you don't go. This is what you get. Take it or leave it. Fuck off. And they're like, oh, you don't want this, this, and this? Fine. And it's like they will sell their ass out for that money. And that's my problem with it. Not that, oh, this is a corrupt company, or a corrupt government, all that kind of shit. I don't give a fuck about any of that. Don't bullshit me and say, you know, women's rights, women's rights. And then they weren't allowed to have women. And you go, that's fine. So, I mean, meanwhile, the women were probably thrilled not to have to fucking take that plane ride over. I'd be like, oh, please don't invite me either.
I'm trying to find this thing that he said, and I wrote it down in my notes because it was just so him. But like, I can't fucking find it now. Ugh.
You know, on a side note, you know how you were screaming about racism on our chat, right? And right, you're like, right, you don't know what it's like to have to go on holiday and see how racist the country is or something like that. And I start giggling because you guys call it holiday, first of all. But
you check it first, but yeah.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, I've never even thought twice of let me go check to see if people hate me at this country. And I was telling this to the girlfriend the other day. And I said, you know, he says this. And I go, the funny thing is, I always just think of him as a white guy. And I've told you that, right? You were always like, how the fuck? And I'm like, I have always thought of you as a white guy. And
but
she,
it's not what my passport says.
And she turns to me and she goes, he's not white? I go, I can't wait to fucking tell him. I'm not the only person. I go, yeah, he's a fucking tall head camel jockey. You didn't know? She's like, really? I go, yeah, I can't fucking tell either. I wouldn't, I mean, you, if you stare at you see that you're a little swarthy. You got a little tan to you. But I don't think of you like, you know, Muhammad running around or anything like this. So I just think he's a fucking white guy, which is interesting.
Even when you've met me.
Yeah. And I don't, I'm just like, yeah, I would say Italian then, because you're tan like an Italian guy. You're not dark. And so, I mean, I don't, and you've had your nose fixed, so maybe that helps too. But I wanted you to do something on the sly, because we know Russo probably doesn't listen to this show. And I want you to do an experiment. He said on this last week's show, where he had you on, he said, yeah, I got to be honest, you say you interviewed me in England, I don't remember. And you said, well, I stopped shaving since then. And he said, that's probably it. I want you to send a picture of you with your Oasis haircut and your no fucking beard. And I want you to text it to him and go, have you ever seen this asshole before? That's all I want you to say. I said, or just say nerd. Have you ever seen this nerd before? And don't let him know anything about it. I want to see if he replies. He's going to reply and go, nah, who is he, bro? I hope he goes, no, I don't know this nerd. And I want you to say, or you say, has this nerd ever interviewed you before? He says he has. Do that. And I want to see if he goes, yes, he does remember that, or if he goes, no, I don't think this guy's ever interviewed me before. And then you go, that's fucking me. That's when I interviewed you. Just so if he's like, holy shit, I couldn't even tell it was you. Because at one point for these people, Billy looked like the guy from Oasis with that haircut, with the fucking, the bangs and the rest of the hair long.
I found the quote now.
Okay.
He said, Saturn put, the LGBTQ plus, LGBTQ plus, I don't know what that means. What the plus?
It's 50 more letters. That's what that is.
Right.
Because they keep adding to it.
God, because only he would know, right? Because Jesus.
I had a whole show where I did a whole alphabet on them. I added probably 26 letters.
So he says, in wrestling, by the way, like a sport where you fight, where it's supposed to be believable. This is the problem. This is the complete disconnect, because these guys are supposed to be seen as real tough guys that could win a fight. And I think that's the disconnect, because he goes and watches pussies at PWG and Joey Ryan doing dick tricks, and he loves it. And that's the fucking problem. That's why these people should...
He's not offended by the dick trick? I'm surprised.
No, he loves all that shit, because it suits him, because he gets free tickets there and knows the owners and whatnot. And that's the main problem with the likes of these guys that cover this stuff. But he put, the LGBTQ plus community, a segment of society that remains woefully underrepresented in WWE, also deserve more engagement. Woefully underrepresented in WWE, a company where you fight each other for championships, are not represented enough. Would it be like if you had like blatant gays with gay mannerisms walking in and going up to Drew going, hey, I want a shot at your title? Like,
the thing too is it's their prerogative who the fuck they hire in the first place. And it's like, oh, we need every piece of every country.
Imagine we had
15, fuck.
How unique would it be if we had 15 like people with velveteen dreams, like mannerisms, walking around the place?
Yeah, it wouldn't be unique at all. It'd be the same old shit if it was fucking 10 that were all on fire, you know?
And, you know, we'll get shit for saying, oh, well, then we're not all queens or whatever. But come on.
They tried it with Darren, and it didn't work, just because don't think it had anything to do with him being a gay guy. Just didn't fucking connect well. It was like, who cares? I didn't give a shit when he wasn't quote-unquote gay, you know? Just didn't care about him.
I think it's stupid that you can't be a gay heel.
Meanwhile, we like Sonya. I thought Sonya's really grabbed the brass ring when she's had this chance. She's been great.
But see, that's it. Works on the opposite way of the spectrum, because I think lesbians can kick every woman's ass.
Yeah,
that's
very
the
true.
That's the opposite. Whereas, like, when you think of like men, you know, you feel that
That they can't, right?
that they
would squeal and get hit. Ah, you know, one of those. Yeah, they have. Of course, that's the stereotype.
Well, yeah, that is 100% the stereotype. But but with the women, you just feel you feel that, like, come on, if she's like a butch,
they're butch
lesbian or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, Sonya's not. I think she looks like great at the moment. But and she's somebody. See, her and Mandy are two people that I would definitely keep. I know they're not the best workers or whatever, but they're involved in a story which outside of the ring is delivering somewhat. I don't like the Mandy and Otis.
Well, they must have listened to the show or they were spying on our text messages when you kept saying this storyline. It's like fucking Otis is dating his grandmother with all these kisses on the cheek. They fucking said, you know what? Fuck this. I feel bad for her. Otis got a heart on the whole time too.
Do you not think that fucking dream sequence was very much?
It was
like
terrible.
It was very much like in line with the Street Profits and
It was because I know now that they've said everything's fake, like we didn't know. It gives them license to be able to do more shit, right? Like the movie style. But I don't like when they'll do a dream sequence because how are we supposed to see their dream? That's too unrealistic for me. In this world, I draw the line at that where it's, oh, now I know what her dream is. And I mean, they were doing Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I saw what they were doing, obviously, with Otis taking his top off like Phoebe Cates did.
But then when you're going off into dream, I mean, that's the thing. We've already got the dream sequences. Not dream sequences, but we had something similar with your top guy, which is Bray, right? Which, because the whole funhouse was supposed to be, you know,
crazy land,
But so why do we have Mandy Rose and Otis with the capacity to play out on a dream here? That doesn't make sense.
See,
is that not in?
I take those as two very different things, because I don't qualify the Bray thing as a dream.
I think my point's not really been made very well. My point is that you have one guy that can get away with it. You have a special character in terms of everything is okay with Bray.
Yeah.
If you're going to do stuff that you've never done before, like this, like the, you know, the Firefly Funhouse or whatever, you have a character like The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. You have one. You always have just one.
Yeah.
Who's exempt in terms of
magic
of, you know,
and shit.
Setting shit on fire and everything to the point where, you know, even Cornette was around, and even he has found a way to defend it in the company where he would say, he would throw fire, but he would never hit anybody with it or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'd always be careful with it, not to go too far. So if you got one guy doing it, how are these guys have the license to have a very hokey and unrealistic thing where they have it like a dream sequence like that? That's why I have an issue with it when you have more than one person doing things that are totally unrealistic.
Yeah, I just can't handle when it's that kind of nonsense. I do agree it is weird that like we do accept one of them. It's like when Kane used to point at the lights, remember that, and fucking
but that's the thing, Cap, lightning bolts. I don't want to come across like these morons, because at the same time I want to offer Or at least think about different ways to fill the TV time, because we're sitting here and we have turned around and said, we don't just want to see the matches. We don't want to see the matches and match after match after match after match. Because if you're sitting down with your girlfriend and watching the wrestling, the matches are boring for her, right?
Yeah,
she's sitting, she's yawning, telling you to fast forward, whatever, or hoping that you would fast forward. But then
or leave the room.
If she's watching Otis and Mandy or Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, then you're embarrassed about what's there. She's thinking, why is my boyfriend such a douche and watching this stuff anyway? So what's the alternative here, like in terms of what fills in these gaps?
A storyline that makes fucking better sense. Hell, if they just did, I mean, that's Sonya's storyline. And the camera that was like the fucking guy who does the hacking. That works. That works fine, because my problem was always where it was people talking in the back in secret and the camera's in front of them. It's not like a hidden camera. You're like, so this is supposed to be a candid thing in the back? Like, we, you know, we're a fly on the wall, but there's a camera in front? That kind of shit was always like, what the fuck?
Oh, good point to finish on, and I will make sure I remember what you just said. But I was just going to say that I like the stuff with MVP and Lana at the moment, but it's not very long, but it's good enough. But my point, I think we're near the end anyway.
Yeah,
my point
we're at the end. An hour and 15 in, yeah.
So get this, and this might transition well onto our little clip of Derek as well. So Derek Montilla was on a podcast this week, again, thinking he had a safe space, talking about Drew.
Jesus Christ. But he did retweet this out. He commented, so it was on his feed.
But he also thinks that we're blocked everywhere, so...
That is true. He does.
But I actually gave, like, Drew some legit advice this week, which I can actually come on here and talk about, because it's not really a big deal. It's not storyline orientated or anything, but it relates exactly onto what you said. So which I said to him, what do you do all day? What do you do at Raw all day? Stand around by the props waiting for Charlie. And I went, they need to sort that out. So he texts me back something to it, and I said,
I would stand around waiting for Charlie.
I said, I'm going to be openly critical, and I'd address that in my opinion. I said, here's why. Before the Rumble, you were an upper mid card, on and off main event heel, but essentially equal to many on the roster. If you continue to roam backstage, you look like a temporary experiment. Nothing differentiates you from Rollins and all the other guys that got a run. If they are running with you properly, the perception has to be that you're a top guy and not the guy at the moment that they are going with. Perception is the key. I'd 100% get a door with your name on it, mm-hmm. so she at least has to find you in the surroundings fitting a top guy. You shouldn't be backstage lingering around. You're the champion. At which point he put, I like the idea. Mm-hmm. The blah blah blah. So at which point I say, hold on, what I need to make this make sense. I need to read his text. I like that. Can maybe make a comment when she has to knock and come in about needing space to think since can't find somewhere quiet, knowing you're going to jump out at some point. So here we go. I just said, don't really need to do any of that. I think anyone would never ever go up to Brock backstage. Brock was special. You're just a dude. If you're just a dude, if you're walking around, especially when Corbin came to Raw and said, why don't I have a locker room like I do on SmackDown, and complained about how he was treated. But you're the champion and you accept that every week and are easy to find, and you have less than Corbin claims he has on SmackDown. And I said, this is all it needs to be. Have a big M on your door. Knock, knock, come in. That makes you a different level of champion immediately. He put, absolutely agree. And I put, I'd even get some resistance bands for when she comes in. When she comes in, you're doing those. Always think it looks cool. The shadow boxing looks gay as fuck. Don't do that. Because you know how like the wrestlers like shadow boxing.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. So I said, this actually looks good. She knocks, you say come in. And you're doing these resistance bands before the match, looking all jacked. It's a much better look for you. So that was a conversation I had with him, which is a legit conversation. That's the kind of thing Derek Montilla will never have in his life. But he's completely on board with it. So I'm going to see if that actually comes about this week on Raw.
Yeah, if we see him with a fucking locker.
Yeah, or at least a dressing room or something.
Yeah, locker room, yeah.
But what do you think of that? Because obviously we had the thing where Russo was calling him out and saying that you need to speak up, and he had problems with his like character. So I'm looking at that, and I know Drew, and I know that he's pretty much coming across in character, but I'm got more of a problem with the looking at the presentation of the champion and him being a big deal as possible, and how it's not just the guy that we're going with now. Because how many guys have we now had beat Brock and they've not been a real champion? And then over the years, we've had loads of people come in and then they go back down. Seth, Kofi, Brian, you know, we don't want it to happen to Drew. But do you think that's any sort of difference maker or just...
I do. It made sense when you explained it, for sure.
But you wouldn't pick up on it yourself. I mean, you wouldn't pick up on it yourself.
No, see, I mean, you're in a different level when it comes to, you know, thinking of storylines and this and that. I think if I had to sit down and think of something, I could come up with stuff too.
But you don't think it looks bad when he's always in the same place backstage by those luggage boxes?
It never like really occurred to me until you say that kind of stuff, but it's 100% true. Where somebody's always with their rubber bands in the back, you know.
Sean was always in his dressing room. Brett was in his dressing room. Hogan. I mean, remember when Heenan, when Ric Flair was coming and Heenan was going to find him,
slam the door in his face. Knocked the belt, right?
You just watched it recently.
I did. Yeah. I just watched it. He knocked the belt out of his fucking hands.
And that's why he had the big gold as well.
Yep, which, the like, big gold.
All the way around to that.
Yeah, because I'm like, Hogan couldn't be bothered to do a real fucking thing, so they just shoved someone over there. Yeah, it completely makes sense.
So that's it, though, like, because people go, you know, because everybody's like, oh, because I imagine, like, now he's champion, people are like, oh, Drew, you're so great. Oh, you're so, that was mm-hmm. so good. Like, I mean, that's going to be your, like, cocksuckers like Derek with his... with his big teeth, but yeah, that was the, I didn't see a big problem with anything, like, until, you know, Russo said what he said, but I didn't really agree with Russo, but I did point this thing out, and I did say I'm going to be critical, and I'm going to say, you know, you can't, you're not a big deal as a champion if you're just walking around backstage. Like, why are you standing around? Walking around like for 2 hours. Like,
yeah, he could even be coming out of fucking Vince's office where it says Vince on the door. I mean, obviously that would only work a couple times. He's got to have his own.
Yeah, I just had a problem with how she was like finding him, and especially this week when he said, "Charlie, I've been expecting you." Like, he's, you know, just some like weird, like Aleister Black, always sitting in the same place all the time. Where Alex, where someone knocked on the. Even, I mean, even Aleister Black got a door that people had to knock on.
Yeah, no shit. As he says every week.
But anyway, that was something that I wanted to speak about, because it was one of the instances where I did turn around to him and say, hey, I think that you need to definitely do this, because this doesn't work for me. So,
do you want to play Derek's thing before we go?
Oh, you're going to play it live now?
Oh, yeah, so I was going to say. Yeah, we can.
Oh, right, I thought it was going at the end, like an Easter egg. Oh, go on.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That might be better to do. Because it would be hard for me to play it, because you're on the phone that I record you through. And that's how I would get to his Twitter to do it. So I'm going to put... I'll put it at the end of the show for an Easter egg for everybody, where Derek is on a show with some other guy. And
it's not called an Easter egg if it's just at the end and we tell people about it. Easter eggs are like hidden, aren't they?
Yeah, but a lot of times people always fucking click off. So it's make people go to the end of the show for sure. It's at the end of the show. It's after Marilyn Manson will be done. You'll hear it there. And he's talking to some guy. The guy isn't thrilled with Drew's title run. And you would think that somebody insulted Derek's girlfriend. And he's very upset by it and calls him his friend, the WWE champion. And it's fucking embarrassing is what it is. So, all right, Billy, plug what you got. What is your Twitter? What's going on? I'm going to be like Russo. I'm going to like this. Give me something, Billy. What's going on? What's happening? Give me something.
Yeah, actually, like my lock betting Twitter is suspended at the moment. But I'm appealing it because... I don't think that they can suspend it just on the basis that Ryan Zatton asked them to. Because, I mean, obviously, I think that he's identified that as mine and has told Twitter, and hopefully it's a temporary suspension
mm-hmm.
where they pulled it down and they don't find any link to me. Because it should be difficult, unless they're looking at loggings and IPs and all that. Yeah. And in terms of linking it to... I mean, I'm not even at the same address, but it may be... They've got IPs for every address I've been to. I don't know how deep the Twitter investigation goes, but I don't know if that accounts back. At the moment, I'm at Dirt Sheet Jesus. If that somehow manages to go away, I'm always at, I'm not at Lingus Mafia, but I'll get the message at Lingus Mafia if you just contact Cav. Lockbetting.com, my Patreon's still available. There is now Bundesliga football. There's now Spanish football coming up next week in the EPL, but I'll talk more about it next week. If you want wrestling bets, I've got NXT bets for the weekend and then Backlash the weekend after that. And just one other thing I thought I'd mention, just we're a little bit off the subject, but I'd actually speak to a couple of guys from Steel Cage this week, just in general. And they're kind of all have the same sentiment that dickhead did come along and fuck up a good thing, because everybody was friends and we were getting on well and the numbers were going upwards. And yeah, okay, a couple of guys had ties to Ryan Satin and they were being told that he didn't like me and I didn't like him, and they were telling me that not to insult him necessarily, but it wasn't any of the guys that had a life. So it wasn't like, you know, this Sprung who works in New York or Adam who lives in Australia, who I actually spoke to this week. So
maybe we might have someone on this show one of these days.
Oh, no problem at all. If they're watching, we can have them on the show.
Or listening.
I mean, not watching us, not listening. I mean, watching the product.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Because some of them claim they don't even watch the product, at a point where it's got down to. I mean, what he's caused there is for people to no longer watch what they've watched their whole lives and not be able to turn out a podcast every week where it's just him. So there's a real big problem there when four guys got together, put out a podcast every single week for years. He came along and now they're not on their own show and he's just doing it by himself. And the numbers are in the toilet and nobody knows what Steel Cage is anymore. And there's an Australian guy who's randomly on there doing most of the shows.
Man.
Who we're cool with, so it's not a knock on him, but
Jesus.
Boy, he picked the wrong fucking team when he decided to where his shows were going to be. Because I think said to him, do you want to do that popcorn show with us?
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, you can find all my nonsense. Everything's Lingus Mafia. That's Instagram. That's Twitter. That's Patreon. I don't talk wrestling unless something crazy happens. Otherwise,
I enjoyed that show. That I was show. On.
Opening, you mean?
No, I enjoyed the show. What opening? Was I in an opening?
Were in an opening of that one show that I had one of the fans.
Oh, I
like
that opening where I was turning around and saying how. I don't know how you edited it to me saying
that you were broadcasting with your hero.
Yeah. I didn't say hero.
You said you're somebody you looked up to for a long time.
Yeah. I would never say hero. But
what wouldn't you say?
Hero.
Thank you.
I'll give you all the drops so you can make what you want out of it. But no, I think I enjoyed the one where I listened to the show with me with the prostitute in the car.
Oh yeah.
And the thing is, that has to be like dug out as an individual bit, like at least on your Patreon page or something, so people don't have to find it, because that was a good fucking 40 minutes. I think without the
I mean, it's on the Patreon, and I mean, it's labeled on there Billy's fucking job or whatever, so I mean,
well, yeah, that's the name of the show though, but I mean just the bit.
Oh, like, just that itself fun. Yeah, that's possible too. I mean, hell,
or even put that on YouTube or something, honestly, like with the play-by-play, it just puts it like over the top, because it's a ridiculous phone call with ridiculous analysis. I mean, obviously then afterwards it goes on to the part with me and that girl on Facebook and stuff, but I think like after listening to that, I think obviously the Facebook fun is funny, but that is having the call to back up the story is just crazy. I was there for the phone call, but to hear it again on your show was even ridiculous for me, and I was there.
See, if anyone wants to hear it, they can go to Billy's Twitter, because it's retweeted with the timestamp too. It's like 20 minutes in, skim to it, and that show is there if you want to hear Billy in a car with a whore and her talking to her client, and the client is saying what he wants done. You will lose your fucking mind.
Where is that timestamp?
It's on the tweet that was sent out there that you then redid. It's like 22 minutes, something like that. It's around 22, right. I think I wrote. Because someone said, oh, where is it? And then I posted it and said, oh, you mean this show at the 22 minute mark? And then you redid
it. It's on my new Twitter. You know what? You need to sort your settings out, because sometimes I can't see your tweets because it's sensitive.
Really? No, you would have to change your Twitter because it's sensitive. You have to be able to change your shit to say, I'm not offended by things.
I've done that, but it still blocks you out. Unless you're like super offensive or something, I don't know.
That's odd. I'll look into it because that's interesting that I would be. Usually it's, oh, go check your settings because this person is disgusting. And I have to say, I don't mind them being disgusting. That's because otherwise, yeah, the hell would I have to change my settings for you to see? Like, I can't force my disgustingness to you.
Okay, so it's got mark media you tweet as containing sensitive material. So I haven't got that on. So that means I don't get it. So notifications. Hold on, I'm trying to fix it now.
All right.
Well, what would it even be under?
I don't even have a clue. That's kind of a new thing. I think you would go to the little gear thing, the settings, and advanced filters. Everything's off on my advanced filters.
I'll fish around. Yeah. Have a look for it.
All right, everybody. Stay tuned after the Marilyn Manson song for the fucking beautiful, colorful Easter egg. He's been Billy. I've been Cav. We're out of time. Reach out and touch me.
Cruise, and like, of course you have to leave Drew McIntyre behind because he's Drew McIntyre and he's boring and not a very good champion. And
God, all right.
We're wrapping up here, so I had to just get some.
You're gonna start taking shots at my friends, my personal friends. You're gonna start taking. My friend is the WWE champion, and you're gonna take a personal shot at him.
Who is the best Spanish god?
Sammy Guevara is a piece of shit, and he's also my friend, and I love booing him at PWG. He is my favorite person to boo at PWG.
He's the nicest person, and he's good to be in so private nice. Party. All of them. Love them. But Sammy Guevara is my guy.
They're a great group.
Drew McIntyre might be behind the scenes. Great dude. He is a snoozer champion, and I love the fact
you
that they're considered
so off base with these accusations.
I love that they're considering taking the title off of him for Lashley just to give him another opportunity in front of fans at SummerSlam to win the title back, just to see what the reaction's like.